Jumping in on Manx Radio
with Howard and Chris Kane.
Hello,
good evening,
and welcome. And here we are once again, Friday night on Manx Radio, jumping in the best in modern and contemporary jazz with Chris and myself. It's a bit of a special this evening because you might be aware, you might have seen the wonderful Portico Quartet are playing on this island just tomorrow evening down at King's Court. A rare chance to go and see them live on the Isle of Man. First time ever here, we'll be chatting to the boys, but more as well.
Certainly more as well. Welcome along to this week's show. And in the blink of an eye, summer, it seems, is over and the weather has taken a decidedly autumnal turn right on cue. However, on the plus side, they're back at school again, aren't they? So you can put your feet up in the warm and join us for the next hour or so of the sharpest jazz sounds around. So, H, what have been the sweetest windfalls for you this week, being the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness and all that? And have you picked up any autumn leaves, or have you just been merely enjoyed jumping and scrunching in them like an ecstatic toddler?
Well, all of the above. Now, I do like autumn, I must admit. So, yeah, we will be playing, of course, some Portico. We'll be chatting to the boys as well. And another person I really enjoyed chatting to on my recent visit to New York. Way, New York. I went along to a new place for me and had a chat with the great Yoko Miwa, who was playing there with a trio. So we'll be playing a bit of music as well.
And for me, we occasionally visit the deli, but that's with an H. We open the game, we see the original plans, and to refresh us all at the start, here's Green Rain from the Our House Jazz Orchestra. We'll be right back. Green Rain, the opener from Shapeshifter. The recent release from the R House, that's with two A's at the front, of Jazz Orchestra with Michael Blatt. And one of two releases from the band this year, Shapeshifter, features the compositions of Michael Blatt, the lead tenor sax in the band, and the album was produced by pianist and arranger Bill Lawrence, a familiar name. I mentioned there were two releases this year, the other being Delta, which features trumpeter Arve Henriksen, which is a reflective and contemplative set, with Shapeshifter being altogether more driving and funky, as you heard. The presence of Bill Lawrence will inevitably bring comparisons to the sound of his regular band, Snarky Puppy. However, I think R House Jazz Orchestra have an identity all of their own. And as for Snarky, well, listening to the next show, and I might be able to give you an update on their current sound.
Yeah, wonderful. Always great. Great name, that as well. Michael Blatt. I always quite like that. Sounds like it should have been an extra in Batman at some stage or other, but cracking music, has to be said. Speaking of cracking music, the Portico Quartet, well, we've been enjoying them for, well, more years than we care to remember after we first met them, as will become apparent in a few moments, on the South Bank in London. They are, would you believe, playing the Isle of Man. Not next week, not next year, tomorrow. Yes, Saturday evening down at the King's Court Theatre in King Bill's. There might be tickets left if you are lucky. Who knows? And it's being paired up with some local acts as well. Soundology, the wonderful Amy House, and Kitterland as well. They do these wonderful ambient sounds and recordings. Joff, famed from the Children's Centre, of course. Some great sounds. All the brainchild of Cornelia from Waves of Wonder, who I was talking to on Spotlight a while back. However, she said, would you like to chat to the boys before they come over? So, of course, we said, yes, we would. So here they come in a few moments. To start off, though, a little bit from where it all began. The Hung on the South Bank, their first album on Babel, knee-deep in the North Sea, and, of course, that wonderful sound of the hand drum, known in Switzerland as the Hung. Thank you.
We started when we were probably in our 20s, really, early 20s. So I'm 40 now. So maybe like 17 years or something like that. A long time, you know. I mean, I think we really became a band probably in our kind of mid to late 20s. We started touring more and we started kind of taking it a bit more seriously as a, you know, we were kind of a proper band then. And sort of have been ever since, with stages where we write more, stages when we gig more, stages when we don't do either so much. But yeah, been going a while.
There's a little bit of background which you might not know, but back in 2006, we had a chat with you when you were busking on the South Bank and we were en route...
Just by the theatre.
En route to an Oregon gig. And we had a chat and I said the music was really interesting. You had Tu Hong at that time. And I bought a copy of your self-produced EP, which you had, which before we went into the gig... We were chatting with a friend of ours, Oliver Winding, who you may know has Babel Records and also the Vortex Club. And I gave Ollie that CD without having heard it, saying, we were listening to these guys busking on the South Bank. Ollie, you might find them interesting. And I gave them your card, which you'd given me with the EP. And the rest, as they say, is history. So
incredible.
That probably led to our... Because we signed with Babel.
That's right.
Yes.
The Vortex
label. That's
right. So you were the link to our first ever record deal.
Where do you see, because I mean the group has changed several times, it's come from quartet to portico, I think back to quartet again. Where do you see, if it's possible to say, where do you see the band now in its sort of lifespan, or perhaps its sort of transformation over the years? Because it's changed quite dramatically, I think, from that original group we saw busking. The actual output, the sound has changed. It's sort of, I suppose, evolved over the years. Where do you see it now?
That's a good question. I mean, I think there's still a kind of like link though with the music we were making in a sense from the very beginning. Like you said, there's been different iterations and there's been sort of stylistic shifts and we've kind of explored kind of like lots of different territory. But I guess it does all feel connected in a way, at least I think it does for me and Jack, into the that initial music, you know, it still floats around the edges of kind of American minimalism and jazz and ambient music, you know. So I feel like if perhaps it's not exactly the same, I also don't think it's a million miles away either.
You know? Yeah. And do you give it a classification? As you say, you mentioned ambient, you mentioned minimalism. It's often lumped in with jazz. Do you think it's all the above, none of the above, or in its own individual, unclassifiable, as they say?
Probably all of the above, really.
Yeah.
Somewhere between all of those things and, you know, a bit of kind of more modern electronic music at points has been part of the equation as well. But yeah, so all of those things. I think, especially these days, it's most music kind of falls between different genres, really. So, yeah, influence from all of them.
I guess a big change, or perhaps the notable change, was moving away from a total acoustic setting. And I also guess that when you started with Tu Hong in the group playing, and if you don't know what that is, folks, it's a circular hand pan steel drum with a very distinctive sound. But those, of course, have fixed scales. And I'm guessing that drew you towards the style of minimalism and repeated ostinati that sort of grew within the music. So the change to electronics, did that come about by the fact that it was a similarity with sequence music?
Well, I think in our third record, when we started to explore sampling and stuff like that, we sampled the hang drums and then we kind of transposed the acoustic sounds onto the sampler, and that allowed us to kind of shift into any key.
Sure.
But you're right that, of course, yeah, that initial, the reason that we were kind of fixed in particular keys or modes or whatever just meant that, I think it brought out our interests anyway, our pre-existing interest in, say, like minimalist patterns or pattern-based music, or because it is a percussion instrument. I think it just lends itself to being played in that way. Thank you.
where do you see the Hung now as a part of the music?
We use it when, like, we want the sound of the Hang, I guess. I think probably for the next records, like, it's always there and it's always a nice sound, and it's kind of, it's been a big part of what has been, made the band sort of identifiable as well. So yeah, like, I think now if it sounds good, we use it. And but then sometimes there's no need, you know, sometimes it just, we'll write a tune, it doesn't warrant having a Hang drum on it, so, you know, why put it on, I guess.
So let's get on to the gig coming up, because they're playing on the Isle of Man. I'm told it's the only live set you'll be playing in the remainder of 2025, the King's Court Theatre here on the Isle of Man. Tell us about that set coming up then. Is that going to be new music, or music from previous albums, or a bit of both?
It's probably not going to be new music. It's going to be music from probably our latest sort of, like, our last few records mainly, I think, yeah.
And is there, I believe, I was reading again just below, there is a new album in the making, as it were, or currently underway? Where are we on that one?
I think it's been in the making for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
It's totally, we've made some things, we've made some music, but I don't know if that's part of the, an album or not yet. But we're just kind of experimenting, you know, taking it kind of easy, seeing what comes out when we get together, not putting too much pressure on it. There will probably be an album at some point, but I don't know how soon or how near that will be, you know.
So you're going to have, it'll be the two of you, of course, then Milo, and you've got, Taz Modi on the Hung and keyboards as well. And how long have you been playing with Taz? Has he been with the band for a while now? I'm not too sure on that one.
It has been playing with us, I think, on and off for probably like 5 years now, or like 4 years or something like that, yeah. Yeah, so he's been, it has been playing with us for a little while.
And it is quite a small sort of intimate venue at the King's Court. Is that a sort of venue you actually like to get in? Because it will be relatively up close and personal compared to, as you say, some of the larger standing venues you've probably played in over the years. I'm assuming you haven't played on the Isle of Man before. If you have, I've certainly missed you, unfortunately. But...
No, we've never played in the Isle of Man before. It's actually a good friend of ours who actually appeared on our third album, Cornelia Dahlgren. But she is the organiser, I believe. So she got in touch with us, and yeah. So I've never been to the Isle of Man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
This life, your body ends here. You had a mouthful of God's love affair. Soon you rise above your tower to a steeple state of calm. Thank you.
There we go. The wonderful Portico Quartet. Jack Wiley on saxes and electronics, piano and synth on this one. Duncan Bellamy, drums and electronics and vocals. Milo Fitzpatrick on a double bass and electronics. And on that one, Kia Vine playing Hang Synth. And we also heard the great vocals of Cornelia Dahlgren, who is bringing them, courtesy of Waves of Wonder, because Cornelia is now based on the Isle of Man and is keen to promote different things you might not get here. So she's trying to do something where she's bringing over acts, in this case the Portico Quartet, teaming them up with wonderful local acts to celebrate both local and international talent, as it were, bringing them together. So we've got, like I said, we have Amy House with Soundology and also Caterland playing, and then the Portico Quartet tomorrow evening down at the King's Court, if you fancy that. Wonderful stuff. Sadly, I was already committed, my own stupid mistake. Otherwise, I'd definitely see you there. I think there might be tickets left. King's Court Theatre, if you go to Waves of Wonder, you'll find links to Ticket Source and you can get along there. And I hope it goes well. Check them out if you can. Wonderful stuff, and thanks to the boys for chatting us. Slightly dodgy Zoom line. Apologies for the quality here and there, but great to catch up with them before they came over. And let's hope they enjoy the Isle of Man.
Indeed so. Now, next up from me, a new quartet release from drummer and composer Tarun Bulani, where he explores his Sindhi heritage and his grandfather's journey from Pakistan to India during the tumultuous period of the partition in 1947. The album's title, Kadahin Milandasin, translates in Sindhi to When Will We Meet? And from it, here's Lajput Naga Sometimes. The Haunting Lajpat Nagar Sometimes, taken from the second release of drummer and composer Tarun Balani, in which he reflects on his family's heritage, the struggles it faced whilst mourning the recent death of his father and a grandfather that he never knew. With a new and distinctly international crew, with Oli Hirvonen on guitar, Sharik Hassan on piano and Adam O'Farrell on trumpet, and of course Tarun Balani on the drums. The same group he led on their debut on Bertold Records back in 2019, The Shapes of Things to Come. Kardin Malanda Sin is out now.
Marvellous stuff, and you're listening, of course, to Jumping In, the best in modern and contemporary jazz here on Manx Radio with Chris and myself, H. And, yeah, still to come, plenty more good music, including from Yoko Miwa. And now, I must admit, I had heard of but not seen Yoko Miwa, and a recent trip, most enjoyable it was, too, to the stateside. We had some great nights in New York and then a few nights in Boston. And now I know there are good jazz clubs in Boston. Scullers is a great one. Nothing actually on when I was there. It's always the way. Whenever I get to places, there's nothing in the jazz clubs. And Scullers didn't seem to be opening up again until September. However, the Mad Monkfish, formerly Mad Monk, but they changed it out of respect for a Thelonious Monk and called it the Mad Monkfish now, which is a sort of sushi Japanese bar and a lovely long thin jazz room with a bar at the back. We went along there and there was playing Yoko Miwa. She's a regular there and she also lectures at the Berklee School of Jazz, and I had a chat with her afterwards, and very nice she was too, I must admit. And I sort of said, oh, we did the jazz program, and said, oh, here, well, look, take these CDs and just promise me you'll play some of them on the show. I said, of course I will, more than happily. So I'm just going to take one at random because they're all good. This is Songs of Joy, and we'll hear Small Talk. Yoko Miwa and her trio. Yoko on piano, Will Slater on bass, Scott Golding on drums, from the album Songs of Joy, which she says refers to the overall feeling of the songs in the album and performances. And she says, when the pandemic started, I decided I would compose every day. And as a result, I came up with 5 new original compositions, all included here. And I also recorded 6 songs composed by other musicians, but in doing them, I chose them carefully to fit in with the feeling of the album. I chose them because of their meaning to me, and when I performed them, I always made them my own. The one thing I tried to keep intact, though, was the original emotion of the song and why it speaks so deeply to me. What I've been trying to do in this album is convey just as many different emotions as it does contrasting styles of compositions. And that's very much the case. Like I said, it is not all like that. You could try some of the other tracks, and I'll dip into some other albums for you in weeks to come, and you get very, very different feels. Some are much more, again, we've sort of in references, maybe some more sort of Keith Jarrett-esque, some far more McCoy Tyner, and sort of harder hitting and much more sort of a harder groove. And then again, some more maybe Amar Jamal or whatever. Lots of different influences, as you might well guess from a woman who is steeped in the jazz tradition. As I say, lectures at the School of Jazz, the Berklee School of Jazz over there in Boston. And lovely to have a chat with her and hear her play live. Like I said, it was much better when I got away from the bar. And like I said, even though I booked in advance, it was busy, really busy, and we were right down the back at the bar, which is sort of nice if you're wanting a few beers, and the food was very lovely in a great place. I recommend the Mad Monkfish. But if you're wanting to hear the music, you need to be closer to the front, because you couldn't really enjoy the music as much when obviously people are chatting around the bar area, aren't they? But that's live music for you, isn't it?
It is.
In a jazz setting. Cracking stuff.
Rare for you to get to the bar. That's what said. But, from me now, another drummer-led ensemble on what was his debut, a live album at another New York jazz club that we haven't been to, funny enough. The first album, First Move, released in 2022. Here's Aaron Sieber with his friends and Brandon.
There we go, a little back-to-back for you there. I'm staying with my piano trio theme this evening, and one that didn't quite make it into our garden programme, garden party programme the other day. Mikio Masuda from his album Black Daffodils. I don't know if Mikio is still going or not. He was one of these guys who had real problems. I think he had an accident or had problems with his hands and had to learn how to play again. But a great album that. I haven't played it for quite some time. Black Daffodils, Mikio Masuda, with Ron Carter, the great Ron Carter, on bass, and Lewis Nash, all going like the clappers on Boogaloo.
And before that, we heard Brandon from the Aaron Sieber Quintet, recorded live in front of an appreciative crowd at the Ornithology Club in Brooklyn back in October 2021, with a great lineup of bassist Ugona Okegawo and alto saxophonist Tim Green, vibes player Warren Wolf, and pianist, both the vibes player and the pianist, very well known, Sullivan Faulkner. Group have all worked with each other before getting together as a quintet, but hopefully they'll have more releases to come. The album's called First Move and is on the Cellar live label, and thanks to Lisa Reedy for sending us a copy. Well, that's just about it for this show. Don't forget the Portico Quartet are live at the King's Court Tomorrow Theatre, and you might be able to still get a ticket. But for now, we've just time from a track from a new project from the Belgian drummer and composer, lots of drummers for me today, yeah. Gel Van Giel, who we've actually seen live in various settings, including with the Brussels Big Band. And we have heard his group I've enjoyed before, which was called the Gel Van Giel Group, which was a seven-piece band with two saxes, trumpet, piano, guitar, bass and drums. But his new close-distance group, he's slimmed things down to a quartet of all Belgian players. Roland Chelis, if we've heard before, on guitar. Ewout Pirou on piano and keys. Yannick Peters on double bass and Gel at the drums and composing. Their first album is due out today, but from their EP, which came out at the end of last year, to give us a flavour of what's to come, here's The Blueprint of Being.
Terrific stuff. I meant to say, by the way, if you want more Yoko, yokomiwa.com, and you can find more on her great stuff.
And Portico tomorrow.
Yeah. Take care. Wish I could be there. See you later.